Welcome to the Wise Life Podcast. My name's Dina Morris and I'm a yoga teacher and hypnotherapist here to help you get the best out of life, sharing tools, tips and tactics for powerful aging with wisdom and joy. Good morning, everyone. This episode of The Wise Life is all about culture and how culture views the aging process of human beings and how we can learn from each other's cultures and maybe pick up some useful tips for how we approach the aging process, get a little bit more wisdom. Okay, so to start with, we're just going to do a little imagination exercise. If you're driving a car or if you're operating machinery, either skip this or sit down, pull over to a safe place if you're driving, or just stop operating the machinery and sit down. But if you're in a place where you can relax, all to the good. I would like you, if you are nicely sat and relaxed, to just close your eyes for a few seconds and let your imagination just do a little bit of work. Once your eyes are closed, just take a few moments to consider what happens when you think about the aging process from midlife onwards. Just let the words come into your head. Maybe you might see what that might be like. Maybe hear words. Everybody's imagination works differently. Maybe you're thinking about what it feels like for your body to age. Okay, so you can open your eyes now and just hold those thoughts about what it feels like, looks like, what you see about the aging process. Now, we know that as we move through midlife and beyond, and particularly as women, hormonal changes from estrogen, progesterone and testosterone are all going to make differences for us. And for women, these can be quite pronounced. It's commonly known that men's hair patterns change, and I always hesitate to use the word taboo because it's such a condemning word, and I really do think people just hear the word and it just reconfirms all their darkest thoughts and deepest concerns about it. But there, it is a truth that for some women, hair loss is definitely a thing as well. Certainly, we see changes in our skin as every cell in our body is affected by hormones. It's just the truth, isn't it? And all that aside, our minds and our emotions are going through big changes too. Not only about how we feel physically, how we look physically, but how we feel our place in our culture is changing. And our thoughts and feelings about how people react around us change as well. And of course, as we move through menopause and into postmenopause, there's a whole range of issues that come up that can affect our day-to-day lives. But when you look back to that picture of yourself and how you feel about the aging process, what was that picture like for you? Did you picture a time of joyfulness, something that looks like you're blossoming? Or did you picture words, images, sounds that reminded you of perhaps a darker time, more wintry, colder, maybe a little bit more empty? Different cultures look at the aging process in completely different ways. Now, in menopause yoga, the postmenopause space is thought of as the second spring, the time when we have more freedom, more space, and more time to consider the real work we want to do and bring into our lives, where we will be of service to the people who matter most to us, but more to the point, how we can grow and develop for ourselves. In menopause yoga, we see childhood as spring, for sure. Summer as the mother becoming years, or maybe the career developing years. Autumn is the perimenopausal space. And then winter is pretty short. It's the, big changes happening here. Let's pause space. Now, for some of us, winter can feel quite challenging because if we live in a culture where we're quite dynamic and our response to change and challenge is to be more active, the thought of just sitting still, considering how we're physically feeling, if that is actually what our body is craving, may feel a bit alien. Everybody is different for sure. But for menopause yoga practitioners, the post-menopause space where we've had time to think and consider and pause is the second spring. Now in Japan, the post-menopausal years are considered a wisdom time. Elders are respected and revered. And Japan is not alone. Native American, Mexican, Spanish heritage writer and analyst Clarissa Pinkola Estes writes extensively in this area, quoting the South and Central American traditions and stories. And of course, in yoga and Ayurveda, there is a tradition too. It's just that in our gym culture, our Western interpretation of yoga is dominated by the asana-driven elements of what is an extraordinarily wide-ranging and rich potential experience. Yes, in the West, we are seeing change. The pro-aging post-50 years movement is gathering pace and connecting and championing each other's rights to be seen and valued. But how do we grow in this space with powerful confidence? Here are three power steps I can think of that you might like to consider. Number one, spend time considering what your big work will be for this time. We think about retiring, but retiring to do what? What do you want to do for what could be 30, 40 years? Do you want to just sit on a sofa and watch television? What is your heart's desire? What could be your big work? Do you want to be an environmental crusader like the designer Vivian Westwood? Do you want to write a book? Do you want to work on that invention you put to one side in your 30s when the kids came along and it felt silly and self-indulgent? Because if you don't know yet, you can try this. Number two, reconnect with a hobby you loved as a child. That could be writing, drawing, riding your bike. My personal passion? Making clay pots. I just love pottery. I loved ceramics when I was at primary school, and nothing ever made me happier than going out to those clay bins and trying to mold clay into, I can see them now in my mind, these like really crunched up little pots with thumbprints in them. Nothing was even. They always cracked and fell to pieces because, of course, nothing was ever fired. We just kind of dried it outside and then painted it and took it home. Oh, my poor mother. She must have had so many of these things littering the house at one time. But now I go to a pottery studio once a week for 3 hours and I get to explore something that is so different from anything else I do in my life, with a group of people who have an enthusiasm for actually the same thing. Is it ever going to lead to anything else? Am I going to become a ceramicist? In some ways, I really hope not, because if there's one thing I think that sucks the absolute joy out of the pleasure of doing something, it's trying to turn it into a business. But there is a lot to be said through reconnecting with a hobby, whatever it is that you see will give you joy. And if it does, that might be a clue to what you want to do next. Spend time recalling what you were instinctively drawn to as a small child. Recall how you spent your time before you got caught up in the external world. What was your inner world connected to? So there you go, I offer three. Because that's a path towards your inner guide. That's what you're doing with these three ideas. You're reconnecting with your intuition. Your intuitive, yes, this is me, teacher. Before you felt judged, before you felt victimized by teachers at school, before maybe critical parents or uncles or friends or anyone else whose judgment made you feel smaller, before you experienced shame, before you started trying to please others and thinking that their praise was enough for you, what actually gives you joy? Letting go of judgment and victim personas are roots to true self-love, and embracing post-menopause has to be the only way, because unless you're planning on getting off the bus, your life journey is going to take you there. And whether it's spring while you are there or eternal winter, that's up to you. So what do you think? Are you ready for this idea of stepping into spring? Are you skipping through puddles and dancing through cherry blossom? Let me know your thoughts and feelings. You can always contact me via Instagram, and that's dina.morris. I do love DMs. There's nothing happier than like just flicking through what people have to say. And if you're interested in taking part in menopause yoga and you happen to live in East Sussex in England, it's probably worth my while mentioning at this point that I am running some menopause yoga classes at the very lovely Yoga Life Studios in Eastbourne South Street starting in August 2021. There's going to be a collection of six, and they're all going to be themed through different aspects of menopause and how the issues that come up to us affect our feelings. And my goal is to equip women with tools and tips and tactics for creating much more calm in their lives as they transition through into the post-menopause space. So again, if that feels like something you'd be interested in, loads of information on my website, or you can have a look on the Yoga Life Studios website too, or drop me a DM on Instagram at dina.morris. Right, that's it, I think, for this week. I hope you've enjoyed this idea of exploring your second spring. And if you have more questions, do get in touch. Have a wonderful week. And here we are at the end of another edition of the Wise Life podcast. If you found this content useful, I would be very grateful if you could support this podcast by giving me a 5-star rating. And if you've got the time, a review would be amazing. And please, if you have suggestions for podcast topics, I'd love to hear them. Just DM me on Instagram at dina.morris, and have a great week.